Man's ways or God's ways? Which do you think works better? You're going to find out on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show. Stay tuned, because here we go. God has a better way of doing things. Interesting, isn't it? So many times, though, we all know that. We know that God has a better way. We know that God has a better plan than we do. God can see things that we can't see. But you know as well as I do, we often criticize God for doing certain things, letting certain things happen in our life. So that's what we're going to talk about on the program today. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Gary Zimak Show. Great to be back here with you for another 15-minute episode as we close out the week. And as I told you later, earlier in the week, my plan next week, since I won't be doing the traveling that I've been doing recently, is to go back to the 30-minute episodes, which means that we will be able to start doing the daily mass readings again, which is something I definitely want to do. So we've done the 15-minute shows for the past 2 weeks just so that I could pre-record all of them before I go away. Now, today is Friday. I've got to keep that straight in my head because I'm recording this a week earlier. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're enjoying the retreat. I think we have some good things to talk about on the program today. And this is one of the favorite topics of mine to discuss, the fact that God has a better plan than we do. We fight him so many times, but if we would learn, and I include myself in this because I'm not that good at it, if we would learn to trust him more, or to ask him, again, we can ask for his help, ask him to help us to trust him more, we're going to be a lot more peaceful, because then we'll accept everything that happens to us as God's will. It is God's will. But again, we struggle with that. So that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have any questions at all, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. And one of the things I do want to mention, I don't like to take up too much time with it, but this program is listener supported. So if you'd like to help me stay on the air, you can either make a financial contribution, very much appreciated. You can do that by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on the donate tab, and you can make a secure contribution by PayPal. And I hope you really understand that it's very much needed. I don't like to talk about money. I really don't. But I am surviving for over 4 years now in full-time ministry through your help. That's the reason I do it. My speaking engagements, some book sales, and the contributions from the listeners of this program are huge. They really are. I mean, they're a very important part of my work. So if you like what I do and you're able to contribute financially, I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Please don't think somebody else will do it, because what happens is nobody does it. And I really want to keep the show in the air. You are the way that will be possible. You can either become a monthly sponsor, and I'm really looking for some new monthly sponsors. So you can do that right from followingthetruth.com, or you can just make a one-time contribution, whatever works for you. And as far as monthly sponsorship goes, it can be canceled at any time. You can sign up, you can make one contribution, and you can cancel it. So you're not locked in for any long-term obligation. But please understand that it is an important way to keep my full-time ministry going. It gets challenging, but I really believe in the work that I do. And I know you do too, or you wouldn't listen. So if you could help me out, I'd appreciate it. Another thing you could do is to patronize Mystic Monk Coffee. You'll see an image on my website for Mystic Monk Coffee. If you're a coffee lover, this is honestly the best coffee that I've ever had. This coffee is sold by Carmelite monks. They are good men. They love the Blessed Mother, and they do great work. Whenever you use the link on my website to purchase Mystic Monk Coffee, you help me financially. And in addition, if you're someone who shops from Amazon.com, if you would use the Amazon link, which is on the right-hand side of every one of the pages on my website, then you would help me, because going into Amazon through that link flags all of your purchases as being eligible for a little bit of a commission. So I don't get to see what you purchase, but I just see the end results. If you're someone who shops from Amazon, if you just would remember to go through the link on my website, that's another way that you can help me. And all of the books, all of my books that are listed on the website, they're linked to Amazon in the same way. So if you purchase my books, One of the best ways to do it to help me financially is to use the links on my website. Okay, so again, I don't like to talk about it, but thank you very, very much. Let's pray, then we'll talk about man's ways and God's ways. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. Thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. Thank you for the gift of the Lenten season, a time for helping us to move away from our sinfulness and to move closer to you. Father, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus to redeem us. We thank you for the gift of our faith, the gift of our Catholic Church. Please help us to always remain faithful to you and to help draw other people closer to you. Help those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are anxious, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who might be dealing with addiction, those who are dealing with financial difficulties. Please help them, allow them to feel your peace, and accept all of our own personal needs as well, and help us with our intentions. I also, Father, give you this radio program, and I ask you to speak through me today and to open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to the message that you bring to us this day. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers, as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, thank you again for tuning in to the program. I'm really pleased to be with you here on the show. We are in the midst of our Lenten radio retreat. Lent is, man, this Sunday is the fifth Sunday of Lent. Hard to believe that. The following Sunday is Palm Sunday, and the Sunday after that is Easter. So Easter Sunday, get this, is 2 weeks from this Sunday. Amazing, isn't it? Remember, even if you feel that you haven't made the most of Lent this year, it's still not too late to make this your best Lent ever. There's still time. So don't be too hard on yourself. Let's just get busy. Let's continue to work on it. You're in the right place. So we're going to try to continue to make this our best Lent ever. Okay, if you have any questions, please email me, Gary@followingthetruth.com, and let me know. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you. All right, let's get started. Let's start talking about God's ways versus our ways. Pretty lengthy reading today, so I'm going to be skipping parts here and there just so I don't inundate you with a bunch of words. God has a better way of doing things. Well, listen, we all know that. We know that we're not smarter than God, but as we get caught up in our day-to-day problems, we forget that. And that's understandable because that goes along with our fallen human nature. We have this this tendency to question God, to think that we know best. We give him a list of ways that he can solve our problems. And when he comes through in an unconventional way, or we get an answer to prayer that we didn't expect, we often lash out at him. Let's just continue to ask him for help, and to trust him that he knows what he's doing. Matthew Kelly states, once we accept that we have a distorted view of reality, and we talked about that yesterday, something can be done about it. And that's true, because in order to solve any problem in our lives, the first thing that we have to do is acknowledge that there is a problem, right? Because if we don't admit that there is a problem, we're not going to be able to do anything about it. Throughout the scriptures, we are taught that God's ways are not man's ways. In Isaiah, we read, and this is one of my favorite Bible verses, Isaiah 55:8, your thoughts are not my thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. We are also repeatedly reminded in the scriptures that God's ways and man's ways have very different outcomes. The Gospel of Luke sets God's ways in stark contrast to our own ways. In the first chapter, we read Mary's song of praise, the Magnificat. She praises God for doing great things, for showing mercy, for scattering the proud and bringing down the powerful, for lifting up the lowly and feeding the hungry, for sending the rich away empty-handed. His selection of Mary, poor, young, powerless, and vulnerable, is itself a sign that his ways are intriguingly different. The Lord is kind and merciful. He's slow to anger and rich in compassion. We read that in Exodus 34, 6 and 7. But most people experience the world as cruel, harsh, mean, merciless, and uncompassionate. Why? God's ways are not man's ways, and all too often, the ways of man rule the world. Jesus, on the other hand, invites us to change that. He envisions a world that is lovingly directed by God's ways. And, you know, if we look at the world, as Mr. Kelly points out here, we're going to see a strikingly different world than we see when we look at what Jesus is preaching. Now, of course, we look at the people around Jesus. He was met with a lot of opposition, too. But when you listen to what he says, when you listen to how he's telling us to live our life, there's a big difference between that ideal behavior and the way the world works. The Sermon on the Mount is the most famous speech ever made. In 141 words, Jesus turns the world upside down and reminds us that God's ways are not our ways. Matthew reprints the Beatitudes here. I'm not going to read them. Take some time reading them on your own. That's from Matthew chapter 5. Really good stuff. In the epic parable of the prodigal son, we see God's ways and man's ways richly contrasted. The younger son went off and squandered everything. The older son stayed at his father's side and attended to the family's interest and his own. When the younger son returned broken, hungry, afraid, demoralized, and repentant, the father embraced him, forgave him, and rejoiced. The older brother did none of these things. He did not embrace his brother. He did not forgive his brother. He did not rejoice. Instead, he was full of judgment and self-pity. The older brother lived in a self-focused reality. It's a great story. Parable of the prodigal son, which can be found in Luke chapter 15. We have to question ourselves and see, how are we? Who are we in that parable? I think at one time or another, we're sometimes the prodigal son, sometimes we're the brother, sometimes we're the father. Who are you today? And do you see yourself? Put yourself into the parable. It's a great exercise to meditate on. Forgiveness is at the center of God's heart. It is at the center of this story, and it is central to Christianity. Left to our own devices, humans are vengeful. Even a cursory examination of human history will prove this beyond a doubt. Christianity proposes to change this, and the change is possible because of Jesus' radical example. We are not naturally kind and merciful, slow to anger, and rich in compassion. These attitudes and behaviors are learned as we seek to walk in God's ways by living a life of virtue. So what we are trying to do is become more Christ-like in our behavior. We can do that with the Lord's help, with the grace that he gives us. Are you a greedy person? I never met anyone who admitted to being greedy. I have encountered people who will confess to being gluttonous and prideful, and others who will say they have a problem with lust or anger, but I've never heard anyone admit greed. I've had deep and intimate conversations with thousands of people about the most personal aspects of their lives, but nobody has ever said to me, I like money too much. Oh boy, this is going to get tough. And nobody ever thinks of themselves as stingy. I've met some monumentally stingy people, but they think they are generous. We don't see ourselves as we really are, and God's ways are not man's. You know, that's something to think about, to ask yourself, am I greedy? Am I stingy? Do I love money too much? Ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you and pray about this. This is a great exercise to do during Lent. Let's see. The other point that is essential to realize is that God's ways are not simply a minor adjustment of our own. They often represent the opposite end of the spectrum. Jesus invites us to a change in attitude, but that alone is not enough. Ultimately, that change in attitude should lead to a change in behavior. That's one of the things we want to remember as we go through this Lenten season, that we want to not only change our attitude, but to change our behavior. Today's point to ponder: God has a better way of doing things. Question to consider: what is one practical example of how God is inviting you to let go of your way and open yourself to his way? And our prayer: Lord, teach me to value your way of doing things above all other ways. All right, That's all the time I have for today. Spend some time reading that material. Do your reading over the weekend. And God willing, I'll see you on Monday. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. God bless you.